Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you to this episode tonight, I am excited because we're still sharing the exploits of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah in 2 Kings. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, as I always do, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, I am using, my precious brothers and sisters, so keep them coming. Okay, as the theme song for the show suggests, and it always will, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. That's taken from Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. What Jesus is promising is that you will become perfect if you will give up all for Jesus Christ and do his will. Again, Jesus said, come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. That's in Mark chapter 1, verse 17. My brothers and sisters, the promise is that you will become a bona fide advisor or advocate or ambassador or disciple of Jesus Christ if you follow him. That means keep his commandments. Jesus said again, take heed how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. That's taken from Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Now, the promise is that if you hear correctly and respond accordingly, you will add to the blessings that you receive from God Almighty. But if you don't, the blessings that you have, it will be taken away from you and given to someone else. And again, the question for this hour is, my precious brothers and sisters, are you standing on these promises? Let's go to the lesson. We're going to, again, before I start the lesson, though, let me give you this caveat. This is something that I believe needs to be rehearsed over and over and over again. This is why I constantly remind us of it as we meet for this study period. Now, before we, again, the Bible is written in code. This is what we need to understand. It is a mystery. It is a secret. It's a parable. It's a prophecy, a proverb, a paradox, a riddle. It's a symbol. All of it is necessary for our graduation into heaven. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that's why we're here tonight, and I constantly remind us of it before we start the program, because we are studying and learning together. Okay, now let's get to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to 2 Kings. We're going to be looking at chapter 19, and we're going to look at verse 20 and 21, and then we're going to look at verse 32 through 37. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters, this is the instruction that I want you to get from this particular reading. God saves Judah. And of course, we know that God is in the salvation business. And in all the books that we have in the Bible, all 66, it talks about him saving. And in this instance, we're talking about 2 Kings, so we're talking about Hezekiah during his reign. God saves Judah, which Hezekiah was responsible for. Listen to what it says in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 20 beginning. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word that the Lord had spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. And then we're going to go to verse 32 through 37 to complete the thought. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adramelech and Sharezah, his sons, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. So now we're going to go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to get an understanding of the same that God will protect. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse through 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 17. And this is Paul. He's explaining to us, he's explaining to the Romans, they that call upon the Lord, like Hezekiah called upon God to save Judah, the same will be saved. Listen, I see that we're close to the first break. Let's take that first break, and then we'll get back to the lesson.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever wanted something so bad that you felt like you would give up nearly anything to get it? There are many pleasures in this life that will tell you that they can give you fulfillment or happiness or meaning. But I believe that each and every one of us have reached that point where we finally get that something that we want, only to discover that all it ultimately held for us was disappointment. And so we move on to the next thing, and then the next, and the next. And some of us are left wondering, is there even a purpose to our lives? Did you know that God understands that we need fulfillment? It's how He created us. And He didn't leave us without an answer. God has given us the answer to a fulfilled life, and that answer is found in a promise. But it's a promise that sometimes we don't want to hear. In Matthew 16:25, Jesus says, "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Some of us are engaged in such a determined pursuit of a fulfilling life that we are passing right by the only one who can truly give us life. The issue is not that life is a bad thing. God desires us to have life and life to the full. However, the issue is that some of us have made life a bigger thing than Jesus. We have chosen the pursuit of life over the pursuit of Christ. The question Jesus is asking us in Matthew 16:25 is, what am I worth to you? What is Jesus worth to you and me? He made it very clear what we were worth to Him when He gave up His life for us in a horribly tragic and painful way. He made it very clear what we were worth to Him when He allowed Himself to be crucified for something He did not do, for something we did. Galatians 2:20 is a powerful statement that we as believers need to live by. It says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me." A life of pursuit after Jesus is a life of friendship with Him. When we choose to seek Him first, He fills us with His Holy Spirit and He lives in us. When that happens, we're no longer looking to receive life from the things we see or the things we can get. Once that happens, we're walking in the life that He provides. And that is a life worth living.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to complete the thought. We're going to use the complement, the New Testament, to coincide and substantiate when the Old Testament tells us in the 2 Kings that God saved Judah because of the prayer of Hezekiah. Listen to what Paul taught the Romans in chapter 10, verse 13 through 17. Paul says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." My precious brothers and sisters, call upon the name of the Lord. But you must call upon the name of the Lord in the way He has designated, meaning that you must keep His commandments. And then he will certainly hear and avenge you of whatever it is confronting you. Okay, let's turn back now to 2 Kings. We're going to look at chapter 20 this time, verse 1 through 6. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. God heals King Hezekiah. Okay, now this is a snippet of the exploits of King Hezekiah during his reign. Listen to what God did for him in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 through 6. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God Almighty, Thy horse, thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sorely. And it came to pass, after Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord God Almighty, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. So God healed Hezekiah. And that's because Hezekiah beseeched him. And Hezekiah was doing the will of God. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 40, no, chapter 8. Verse 43, and we're going to see how, again, God does heal if you approach him correctly. Listen to what happened to the woman with the issue of blood. Luke chapter 8, verse 43 beginning. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind Jesus and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stenched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him, before all of the people, for cause she had touched him, for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Again, we see, if you have the faith, that means you are working your faith. You are keeping God's commandments. Healing is academic. It will be a part of the end result of your experience with Christ, this side of eternity. All right, let's go to the next instruction. Let's turn the Bible sources back to 2 Kings chapter 20. We're going to take another question out of our instruction out of chapter 20. This time we're going to look at verse 12 through 21. Verse 12 through 21, and this is what I want you to understand or pay attention to as I read the text to you. King Hezekiah sins against God. And even though God healed him and saved Judah because he requested him, he still sinned against God. And that is something that we must realize, that in our lifetime, we continue to sin. We must fight against it, my precious brothers and sisters. But we continue to sin. And the way that we receive reprieve is through repentance. Okay, now let's listen to what the Bible says about Hezekiah and his sin against God. Listen to what chapter 20, verse 12 through 21 says. At that time, Baruch Dakadin, the son of Beladin, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah, hearkening unto them, and showed them all of the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, and all of the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, none in all of his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thy house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in my house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the day comes that all that is in thy house and that which is thy father's have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord, which thou hast. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all of his might, and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the books of the chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. So we can see that Hezekiah, again, in the end, sinned against God. And what we're going to do is we're going to go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go to Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 6, and we're going to see similar how it occurred in the New Testament with Paul. But before we do that, I see we're at the next break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
Love, the most beautiful thing in the world that you and I look for is love. I mean, you've heard the joke, haven't you? What do you get when you hear a country music song playing backwards? Well, you get your pickup truck back, you get your house back, you get this back, you get that back. All of country music is on love and it's on romance. My wife and I have been married for 47 years. Yeah. I know I don't look it, I just look 25 or something like that. But you know what? I'll never forget the day I met her. She was 16, and I was 20. I'd just come from India, she was from Canada. And when I looked at her, I wasn't listening much to the sermon that day. I was looking at her across, and I thought, that's the one I want to meet. And strangely enough, she thought the same thing. And now, after 47 years, in fact, coming up in 2-3 months, will be 48, as Margie and I have been wed, I want to tell you two things about love. It's hard work. It's hard work. You see, when you put the ring on that finger, it is a tourniquet to stop your circulation. When you say yes to her, you're really saying no to everyone else. Do you realize it's the greatest compliment you pay a human being when you take them at their word when they say, I do? Do you realize that? Young people, let me tell you something. G.K. Chesterton put it this way, free love is a black and white contradiction in two words. Love was never intended to be free. It is the nature of love to bind itself. It is the nature of love to bind itself. And the consummate expression is the most sacred expression of all physically, which actually represents the spiritual consummation of two people saying, I do. C.S. Lewis says there are four kinds of love. Agape love, the love of God. Storge love, parental love, which is protection. Phileo, which is brotherly love or friendship love. Eros, which is romantic love. Agape, storge, phileo, eros. And the other three have no point of reference without the first. They have no point of reference without the first. You cannot really define love until you understand the one who has created you and me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You cannot love without giving. And God gave to us the most precious gift of all in his Son. Love cannot be defined apart from God. And if our culture is messed up, it's messed up right here. We have no longer a definition or a point of reference for love. You love your car, you love your house, you love your dog, you love blue, you love Italian food, you love Indian food, you love your wife. Same word. Not so for the Greeks. They had agape, storge, phileo, eros, and the last three hung on the peg of the first. And if you are living with a broken heart today because of a broken love, you probably had that love broken because somebody didn't hang love on the peg of the eternal love of God himself.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're looking at King Hezekiah's sin. We read about it. Now let's look at Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 6. And we're going to see similarly how Paul also did likewise. It says in Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 6, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, stumbling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So in this instance, Paul was sinning against God. But Paul ended up being reverted and did the will of God. And we, my precious brothers and sisters, just like Paul, are able to revert and to reprieve and to repent. That's what reversal is. And follow the Lord and do his will. Okay, let us go to the next instruction. Let's go back to 2 Kings, and we're going to look at chapter 21 this time. We're going to look at verse 1 through 11 and see what we find in the text. And this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind. It's instruction 57. Manasseh, king of Judah, sinned abominably against God. Now, this is the story of the king or it's an excerpt of the king Manasseh, and he sinned, it says, abominably than Hezekiah did. Listen to what 2 Kings verse 21, 1 through 11 says. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years at Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathens, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his sons pass through the fire, and observed times, and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe and do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearkened not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake by his servants the prophets, saying, because Manasseh king of Judah had done this abominations, and had done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and has made Judah also to sin with his idols, therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, that is what Manasseh caused in his time against God. And now we're going to go to Acts chapter 12. Turn your Bible sources with me to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, and we're going to see how in Acts chapter 12, again, abomination has caused God to be angry and destroy. We're looking at Acts chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verse 21 through 23. And this is what I see, that we're approaching the next break. Let us take that break, and then we will proceed with the lesson.
I want you to pray for me today, because my assignment today is to get into an area that is kind of difficult to get into. I want to talk to you about believe, what you believe, what you believe. What you believe about your God, but also what you believe about yourself. Belief is a very important thing. It's not just a matter of denomination. It's not just a matter of being a part of a group or a tribe or a clique or a cult. Belief has all to do with your philosophy that you live by, your vision, your purpose, your goals. As Christians, we've come to understand, or you should understand, I'm not sure that you do understand, that what God is most concerned about is belief, believing in him. He says, I know you're weak, I know you made mistakes, I know you've erred along the way, but if you believe me, it is counted unto you as righteousness. I want that to sink real deep in your head. He said, I know you're not right. Look at somebody and say, I know you're not right. And even though you try, and even though you labor, and even though you commit, and even though you work on it, and even though you pray, and even though you cry, and even though you repent, the very best of us falls short of the righteousness of God. I don't care how prudish you sit up there and look at me and try to act all super holy. There are moments in your life that you wouldn't want to show on this screen up here right now. You'd be up here tipping out like this. If every thought that ran through your head could be heard on the loudspeakers right now, you wouldn't have friends, you wouldn't have kids, you wouldn't have family, you wouldn't have anything, because I don't care. If you drink communion for breakfast every morning, there are still moments in your life that you think some things that you don't want to be heard. And yet God says, if you believe, your belief is counted unto you as righteousness.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we read on the abominations of Manasseh and how he angered God. Now let's look at Acts chapter 12, and we're going to see how this angered God to the point where he took out Herod. Acts chapter 12, verse 21 through 23. Listen to what it says. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. People gave a shout, saying, is it the voice of a god and not of a man? And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of the worms and gave up the ghost. So, my brothers and sisters, we have to be very careful in not doing the will of God. And if we go to the extent that we exacerbate, you know, God's patience, it could end up exactly like what happened to Herod. Okay, let's turn our Bible sources back to 2 Kings. We're going to take another instruction out of chapter 21. We're going to look at verse 12 through 16. And what I'd like for you to do, this is instruction number 58. God curses Judah because of King Manasseh. So we're going to hear how, because of what Manasseh did, God took it out on not only the king, but on the people that he ruled. This is what 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 12 through 16 says. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God Almighty of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch out over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab. And I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hands of their enemies. And they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day that their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his sins wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. So that's what happened to Manasseh and Judah and Jerusalem. God went against them. Now, let us go to Revelation. Let's go to our complement, our New Testament complement. We're going to go to Revelations chapter 18. Revelations chapter 18, and we're going to look at verse 2 through 6 in chapter 18, and listen to what God did to Babylon. And in this Revelation, Babylon represents, I think, the world. Listen to what happened. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hole of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive none of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, and in the cup which she had filled with her give double. So you can see God will destroy the world in this instance because of the sins that were abominable towards him. And this is in relationship to what happened under Manasseh's reign in Israel. Okay, let us turn back to 2 Kings chapter 21. We're going to get another instruction out of 21. We're going to look at verse 19 through 26. And we're going to use this instruction, and the instruction is number 59. And it's King Ammon was slain by his servants. And this is another king, and it was the son of Manasseh. Manasseh was destroyed because of God and his bad dealings. And now we have King Ammon, and he too is going to be slain by his servants. This is the way the storyline goes. And what I want you to do is, as I read the text, keep in mind, King Ammon was slain by his servants. This is 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 19 through 26. Ammon was 22 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Mephshulamet, the daughter of Ahasuerus of Jotbah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. And he walked in all the ways that his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and he worshipped them. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and walked not in the way of the Lord. And the servants of Ammon conspired against him and slew the king in his own house. And the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Ammon. And the people of the land made Josiah, his son, king in his stead. Now the rest of the acts of Ammon, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And he was buried in his sepulcher in the garden of Uzzah. And Josiah, his son, reigned in his stead. Now we can see where he was against God, and God had him killed, and even the people of the land killed those who killed him. God is a God of vengeance, and his vengeance is beyond our comprehension, my brothers and sisters. Okay, let's look at Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to see in Revelation chapter 2 what the compliment has to say about the comparison. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 through 23. Listen, now this is God, the Spirit, speaking to the church, and is telling us about what will happen today if we do as Ammon did. Listen to what it says. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. That is so critical to note, my precious brothers and sisters, that we are caught in a calamity. We are caught in a world of evil, and we have to be very careful how we deal with that or we take part in that. We should take no part in it, but we have to be very careful. If we don't, it will be climactic for us, and we can see how the Spirit dealt with Thyatira, and God is telling us the same will happen to us if we do not react accordingly. And I see we're at the last break for the evening. Let's take that break, and then we'll come back and complete the lesson.
You're not a procrastinator. You have a habit of procrastinating. Big difference. Because if it's a habit, I can teach you to use science to break it. So let's talk a little bit about procrastination. Who in here struggles with procrastination? Yeah, and the rest of you that aren't raising your hand are just procrastinating on doing it, aren't you? I know. You see, I always thought procrastination had to do with the thing I was procrastinating around, right? Like that procrastination has something to do with work. Believe it or not, procrastination has nothing to do with your work. Procrastination is a form of stress relief. Let me explain this. So let's say that you've got some stuff going on in your life, and heck, who doesn't have stuff going on in your life? Maybe you're fighting with your significant other. Maybe mom's or dad's health is failing and it's really, really upsetting you. Maybe you've got some financial stuff. You put too much of your savings into Bitcoin and now that that's crashed, you're stressed out about it, right? And so you go into work, and when you get into work, you got stuff to do. You kind of walk in and you got this big stress ball that subconsciously is hanging over your head. And so you walk in and you sit down and you know you got 13 phone calls you need to make. And you also know that you've been chickening out, you've been making easy calls, and there's a bunch of CIOs or other people that are higher level that you haven't been calling. And so as you sit down to do it, you got the stress on your shoulders, your brain, it starts to go, wait a minute, well, you want me to make a call to somebody that I'm scared to make? Absolutely not. I'm so stressed out about, can we just watch some cat videos for a minute? And next thing you know, an hour's gone by. And then, of course, what do? You beat yourself up. So the only way that you can break this habit, and that's an important word for you to hear, you're not a procrastinator. You have a habit of procrastinating. Big difference. Because if it's a habit, I can teach you to use science to break it. You see, all habits have three parts. There's a trigger. And in the case of procrastination, the trigger is always stress. Then there's a pattern you repeat, and in the case of procrastination, it is to avoid doing something. And then there's a reward. You get a little stress relief. The only way to break a habit, you guys, is not to deal with the triggers. You're never going to get rid of the stress in your life, but you can 100% change your pattern of avoiding work. So next time that you're in a situation where you feel yourself hesitate, you spent way too much time checking out the highlights from last night's scores, what you're going to do is you're going to go, oh, I must be stressed out about something. Acknowledge the stress. Then go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I want you to count to yourself because I want you to interrupt the habit that's stored here, and I want you to awaken your prefrontal cortex. Then I want you to just work, just for 5 minutes. The reason why I want you to only work for 5 minutes is because your problem isn't working. It's the habit of avoiding. I just need you to start. And here's the other cool thing. We know based on research that if we can get you to start, 80% of you are going to keep going.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah, Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us go on to the next instruction. We are on instruction 60. Second Kings chapter 22, we're going to go there and we're going to get a reading from Second Kings chapter 22. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. A book of the law was discovered in the temple. This is going to be very interesting, that during the time of Josiah, a book was found in the temple. Listen, this is what it says in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, and daughter of Adoniah of Boska. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in all of the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the right or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. And then we're going to go to verse 8 through 11 for the completing of the thought. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. I should say, let's begin in verse 8. I read verse 11. I should have started at verse 8. Listen to what it says in verse 8. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan, the scribe, came to the king and brought the king word again, and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and have delivered it to the hands of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan, the scribe, showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest have delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. Okay, so that is what we today, theologians, have identified or consensed that that book was the book of Deuteronomy. Anyway, let's go now to the New Testament complement. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, we're going to look at verse 44 through 46. And here is a parable that Jesus gave on discovering something that is good, how we should respond to it. Listen to what Jesus said in this parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. The man which had found it, he hid it for joy and went and sold everything he had, and he bought the field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found the one pearl of great, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Now, again, these two illustrations of the kingdom of heaven is like that book found in the temple. Once you find that which is right, then you should perform it. That's the key, my precious brothers and sisters. Okay, let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 22 and take another instruction from chapter 22. This is instruction number 61. And this is the instruction. As I read the text to you, I want you to keep in mind this. Helda, the prophetess, advises the king about the book. So this is a continuation of the book that was found, and there was inquiry made by the king to its validity and the like, and this is how he received advice from the prophetess Helda. And this is chapter 22, verse 13 through 20. Listen to what it says. Go ye, the king said, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Akbar and Shaphan and Asadahiah went unto Heldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shillem, the son of Tiva, the son of Heroch, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall kindle against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, touching the words which thou hast heard. Because thy heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And thy eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king's word again. So because of the law or the book that they found in the temple, and because of what it said, it frightened the king, which it should, and he got advice about it. My brothers and sisters, what we have is the whole Bible, right? And the words that are written in it, they should frighten us. And the advice that we have is through Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And let's go to Mark chapter 10. We're going to get the response. Mark chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 17 through 23. Listen to what it says. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? This is advice that this man is asking Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all of these things have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him with love, and you can read the rest because I see we're running out of time. So that's going to be the last lesson that we get today. Now, what the point is, we must take the advice of Jesus and keep the commandments of God in order to not be exiled from eternal life. And so now, before I end, I would like to give thanks on behalf of the host and I, and we ask you to continue to be steadfast in the faith. And again, before we sign off tonight, those that have an ear, to all of the listeners, remember, he that hath an ear, let him hear. God bless and good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.